Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. We'll read verses 14 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Second Peter 3, verses 14 through 18. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And let's finish on verse 18 together. Ready? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that you've given it to us, letter by letter, word by word, verse by verse. Lord, as it was written through thousands of years, we have it perfectly as you had it in heaven before the world was created. And Lord, you knew before the world was created this service would be tonight. I pray that you give our man of God your words. May we listen. May our trip here and our time here not be wasted. May we get it. May we transfer it to others so that we could do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening's sermon is one of those about which I almost find myself embarrassed because of its simplicity, but yet I find it necessary. If you consider yourself a scholar, you'll not be real impressed, but I don't know of any of those in our church, so I'm not as worried about it as what I might seem. The title of the sermon tonight is called, Are You Growing? Are you growing? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I might give it a second title called The Signs of Christian Maturity, but I want to remind everybody of this. Every one of us are to be growing. If you're still alive, you should still be growing in the Lord. Everyone's to be growing. The new Christian is to be growing. The old Christian is to be growing. And just so you know, there's some of you, you might look at some new Christian and say, boy, do they have a long way to go? Well, God looks at you and says, boy, do you have a long way to go? It does not matter where you're at in the Christian life. Every one of us have a long way to go. There's a lot of room in between where you and I are and where we're supposed to be. The new Christian is to be growing. The old Christian is to be growing. The young person is to be growing. The old person is to be growing. Those that are highly educated should continue to grow. Those that are less educated should continue to grow. Those that seem to have a high level of success ought to be growing. Those that tend to have less success should be growing. Parents are to grow. Children are to grow. And let me say something right there. Parents, some of you, you really want your children to learn and you want them to grow. Can I tell you something? Kids need to learn to grow by example. There's nothing wrong with a child looking at a mom and dad and say, wow, my mom and dad are growing. They're growing in their abilities. They're growing in their service to God. Not everything does someone stand before us and teach us 4 points and a prayer on how to do it. Sometimes they're picking it up by watching us. Parents ought to continue to grow while children are growing. Teachers should be growing while students should be growing. The boss is supposed to grow. The employers or the employees are supposed to grow. The strong need to grow. The weak need to grow. The leader needs to grow. The follower needs to grow. Wasn't many weeks ago, a newer Christian here in our church came to my office. They're here this evening, and don't you worry. I'll not tell anybody who you are. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But a person that's been in our church, oh, I suppose, maybe less than a year, but near a year. Lady came to my church with a very simple attitude, but a very refreshing attitude, a very sincere attitude. And she said, "Preacher, I'm new at this thing of being a Christian. I need to know, am I on schedule?" I said, what do you mean? She said, "Well, I've got to know, am I on track?" She said, "Am I growing in the Lord?" I said, "Well, I never had anybody come in and ask me that question exactly." I said, "Now, what do you think?" And she very humbly said, "You tell me and I'll believe what you say, but I need to know how to know if I'm growing." And this is what I did. I began to talk to her. She very sincerely took out she had a little scrap piece of paper. It was real long, almost looked like you'd write a grocery list. And she said, "I'm going to write a couple of these things down because I want to post them on my fridge. I want to make sure that I'm able to figure out if I'm growing." And so she said, you tell me. You know what it means for someone to grow in the Lord, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of our conversation." She left my office. I pulled out a piece of paper. I wrote down the main points that I had mentioned to her about growing. She wanted to know, am I growing? I think if we'll all listen, some points will apply to all. Other points will apply maybe to you a better than some, but yet other points will apply to others in a very, very direct fashion. Let me give you some things very simply about this thing of growth in the Christian life. And are you growing? For instance, I told her this. I said, "Someone who's growing in the Lord does more and more because it is right and less because they feel like it." Let me say that again. I said, somebody that's growing in the Lord, they do more and more just because it's right and less just because they feel like it. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Here it says, God's word is what directs us, not our feelings. Now, what happens sometimes when we're newer Christians, we get caught up in the feeling and the emotion of everything and say, I want to do that because I like it. Well, there may come a day when you don't like what you ought to do, but you do what you ought to do because it's right to do. And folks, you're going to know how you're doing with your growth on the basis of, are you just going to obey what's right? You're just going to do it. You say, why? Because it's right. You develop moral standards for your own life. This process of letting the Bible become your decision maker determines how much you're growing. I seen a little decorative wall plaque the other day that said, "Follow your heart to success." No, I'd say follow your heart to tragedy.
Yes, sir.
Our feelings and our emotions will get us in all sorts of trouble.
Yes, sir.
You say, "Well, what do I follow for success?" Try this old black book.
Yes.
Just whatever it says, you do it. And the more you function off of what the Bible says, and the less you function off of what you think, what you want, and how you feel, the more you're growing in the Lord. We should refer to the Bible first on all decisions, not as a last resort. You see, sometimes we get to trying to figure out what to do, and then finally, when we're at our wit's end, we say, "I wonder what the Bible says about this." What you need to do is find out what the Bible says about it first and get rid of all that worry and fret and the bouncing around in decision making. When you have a decision to make, go straight to the Bible and say, "What's the Bible say?" "Well, the Bible says this, and that's what I'm going to do." Say, "But I don't feel like it." Oh, that, you're removing that because you're growing past decision making based on feeling, and you're making decision by principle. And I told her, I said, on whatever decision you should listen, on whatever the decision, we should assume the Bible does give instruction rather than assume the Bible does not give instruction. So quickly, I told her, I said, "Look, I can tell you if you're growing in the Lord on the basis of, are you doing what the Bible says, not what you feel like doing?"
Good.
Now, that's how you're going to know how much you're growing in the Lord. I told her this. I said, number two, I said, one who's growing in the Lord wants to spend more and more time with good Christians and less time with their old crowd.
Yes, sir.
It's just a natural. The more you grow in the Lord, the more you're going to want to be with a new crowd, and the less you're going to want to be with the old crowd. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Your association, when you're growing in the Lord, your associations are purifying. I've watched, and you watch. Not that we're trying to examine one another, but I promise you, there are people in here, you're going backwards in your associations, so you're not growing in the Lord.
Right.
You're running with people that at one time you wouldn't even run with because of their negative behavior. You're reducing your spirituality, not increasing it. You can tell when someone is growing in the Lord because they're more and more careful about who they spend time with. Your choice of who you fellowship with should develop some very strict guidelines. Who you spend time with should be an issue in your thinking. You ought to pick your friends. Now, here's what happens. When we first start out, we begin to realize we need to separate from some of the wrong kinds of friends. And anybody will see that spends any time in the right kind of a church. But as you grow in the Lord, it's less and less you spending time with the wrong kinds of friends, and more you're looking for the most spiritual, dedicated, sold-out Christians that you can. So it is not just the absence of the negative in your association, but it is the presence of the positive in your associations. That's a picture of growth in the Lord. When you know if you are constantly saying, I'm spending time with this boy and he's bad for me and he mocks the authority and he listens to the bad music, when you're spending all your time at that level, that's pretty low level Christianity. You ought to get past separating from the bad crowd and desiring to be around the prayers and the soul winners and the Sunday school builders. It is taking the bad out and putting the good in. And you can tell when you're growing in the Lord, you're not spending all your time separating from the bad. You're spending your time looking at the good and the good people you are spending time with. Does that make sense? Okay, so one that's growing in the Lord, they do more and more what is right because it's right, and less they do right because they feel like it. Those that are really growing in the Lord, they spend less and less time with the bad crowd and more time with the right kind of a crowd. I told her, I think somebody who's growing in the Lord experiences more conflict with Satan. People that are growing in the Lord are going to have a little more conflict with Satan. The more you do right, the more Satan wants to stop you from doing right. The stronger your influence for God becomes, the more Satan wants to damage that influence. Let me tell you this. If you're not a soul winner, there's a certain level of opposition you may face. But the day you decide to be a soul winner, Satan will begin to oppose you more and more. The more influential you become for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of heaven, the more the devil's going to try to stop you. And if you say, well, I'll tell you what, the devil never messes with me, he must not have a reason. You ought to be growing to the point that the devil wants to oppose you. Those of you that are now bus captains, you can be dead sure you're going to have more opposition than what you had before you were a bus captain. Why? You're influencing people for Jesus Christ. Those of you that are now Sunday school teachers, you can be dead sure you're going to have more opposition now that you're teaching Sunday school than what you had when you were sitting in the chair being taught in Sunday school. Why? Because of your influence. And so I told her, I said, well, when you're growing in the Lord, you're going to see an increase of the opposition of the devil. As you grow, learn to expect Satan's opposition. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hey, you're going to have to, the more you grow, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Why do you need to be strong as you grow? Because your opposition will grow. Your conflict with Satan is not as much when you're growing. Your conflict with Satan is not as much about your attraction to the world now, but it's more so your productivity for God. You see, when we first get saved, the devil's always working on us in regard to a bunch of the personal issues of cleaning up our life. You start cleaning up your life, you're not going to be in this constant battle with the devil about your drinking and your smoking and your cussing and your immorality. What it becomes is the devil begins to oppose you about your bus route, your Sunday school class, your soul winning, your productivity. You say, boy, I'm just in this constant battle over my drinking, my cussing, my smoking, and my chewing. You got some ways to go. And there will be opposition, and I want you to overcome at that point. But a whole bunch of you, you ought to be past that demonic opposition, and the opposition ought to now be that you're productive for God. You're trying to bring visitors to church. You're trying to change the lives of people, and the devil's trying to slow that productivity down in your life. That's growth in the Christian life. Then I told her this. I said, fourthly, I said, someone who is growing in the Lord panics less when life's crushing matters come to them. They panic less when life's crushing matters come upon them. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. But here the Bible tells us God can give us peace. I want to tell you all something. If you've got the devil opposing you, the more and more you're being used of God, the more the devil is going to oppose you, the more he opposes you, the more frequently some of those crushing blows of life will come upon you. But the more the crushing blows of life come upon you, the more or the less you're going to panic and the more peace you can have in the midst of the storm. Now, there's some of you, it's time for you to grow in regard to the burdens of life. I don't think we're ever going to get over the hit and the hurt. I don't think we'll ever totally get over how the devil attacks and our hearts are wounded. But I'll tell you, if it used to take you 2 weeks to get over one of the attacks of Satan, you ought to be growing to the point that it only takes 13 days. And then you grow to the point that it only takes 12 days to get over it. Then 11 days to get over it. Then 10 days to get over it. Then 9 days to get over it. 8 days. Now, all of us are going to get hit and bleed for a day or two. But we've got to learn that when the devil attacks and when a hit of life, a heartache of life, a burden of life hits us, we've got to learn how to take the hit and not lay down and play dead and not curl up in a ball and not hide, not to be totally emotionally freaked out for weeks and weeks and weeks. You ought to be growing in the Lord in regard to your panic of the hardships of life. As you grow, you're going to learn that His grace is sufficient. As you grow, you see hardship sometimes. See, sometimes we, at the beginning stages of our Christianity, we might even be fooled about what the hardship's all about. Sometimes I've watched people get saved and a week later take some sort of hit from Satan and them saying, I may be doing the wrong thing by serving God. No, you're totally mixed up. When the hit comes right after you get saved, that's not God trying to destroy you. You didn't do the wrong thing by serving God. You did the right thing, and you're getting a little opposition. But don't panic when the hardship comes. And as you and I grow in the Lord, we more and more realize hardship may come. It did not come to destroy us. It may have come to make us. It may have come to purify us. You see, as you grow in the Lord, you become more and more dependent on the Holy Spirit. You become more and more dependent on the fact that He will see you through. Well, let me tell you a good way for some of you to grow to the next level in regard to when a crushing matter comes upon you. Immediately remind yourself that God brought you through the last time, and He can bring you through this time. Sometimes it takes me an hour or two to remember it. Sometimes it takes me a day. Sometimes a couple of days. Sometimes I'm facing, I'm saying, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can take another hit. Lord, I just don't know if I can make it. But thank God, I come to my senses and I say, now, wait a minute. I've been through tough times before. He brought me through before. He's not trying to destroy me. He's trying to make me. He doesn't intend any bad to come to me, but good to come to me. And folks, you ought to be growing in that area of life. You'll know that you're growing in the Lord when the hardships of life don't panic you as often and you don't stay panicked as long. Yes, we begin to grow. Again, we're never going to get rid of it all. Because I think sometimes as life goes on, the hit intensifies a little. Right. If we took a real hard hit and all the rest of the hits were minor, I don't know there'd be much growth in regard to our affliction. And so they get heavier. But look, we shouldn't have to start all over in regard to our emotions, in regard to burdens. We need to kick in where the last burden kicked out and grow from there. Good. We were sitting there and she said, help me to know. Help me to know if I'm growing. And I told her, I said, when you're growing in the Lord, you do more and more for Him just because it's right. rather than because you feel like it. I said, if you're growing in the Lord, you're going to want to spend more and more time with the best of people and less time with those that are not serious about serving God. I said, if you're growing in the Lord, you're going to experience more conflict with the devil, but it's not so much about your personal behavior as it is your personal productivity. I said, as you grow in the Lord, you're going to panic less when life's crushing matters come upon you. I said, number five, I think as you grow in the Lord, your love will grow, and your love will grow for the right things. We all need to learn to love. Love is the theme of the Christian life, but we need to grow at it. We need to have more love for God. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The choir sang a special earlier, a song. Basically, it's all about Jesus. At first, we want to see what we can get out of him. Now we want to see what we can do for him. At first, we wanted to see how much love we could get out of him. Now we would like to give some love back. You'll know if you're growing in the Lord because you're going to grow in love. And you're building this relationship with God where it's not all about what can he do for me. Now you're beginning to say, what can I do for him? You're growing in your love for God. I think you need to grow in your love for the souls of men. You see, at first, we're the lost one, and we get saved, and we're so excited that we're saved, and that's a big deal, and I've got a new life in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, if you're growing like you should, you have ceased just to be concerned about your soul. Now you realize everybody has a soul. And if you can have this free gift called salvation, you want others to have it too. You grow in a love for God. You grow in a love for the souls of men. Hey, soul winning, you begin to get concerned about this thing. You're not afraid to grab up some gospel tracts and tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, the altar calls are important for you, but they're important for you in regard to other people too. You're watching people get born again. The other day, Brother Gewin and I went out and we went to the veterans hospital, and we went around and visited and prayed with some people. When we walked in, there was a man that worked there. He was sitting right in front, right at the entryway. I think he said he was on a break. They had a chair there. It was kind of a massaging chair so men could sit down and those weary muscles and bones could get a little massage. Now, the guy working there was sitting there for his lunch break. We walked in, said howdy, went around, made a couple of calls, prayed with some people. On the way out, I stopped and I decided this guy needed to find out if he was on his way to heaven. And I'll tell you what, I just asked him. I said, sir, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no. I said, could I share something with you? I pulled my Bible out and began to talk to him about Jesus, gave him the four steps of salvation. He sat there and that chair was just vibrating. He just sat there as relaxed and chilled out as he could. We come to the point where I asked him, I said, sir, if you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? He said, no, I'm not sure of that. I said, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He said, no, I've never done that. I said, would you like to? I said, if Jesus would accept you as you are right now as a sinner, would you accept him as a Savior? He said, I'd do that. We bowed our head. We began to pray. There are people coming in and out. Truth is, I thought they were going to interrupt us, Brother Gewin, but they came in and out and in and out. This man just kept listening and listening. He said the sinner's prayer. I believe he was sincere as a man could be. And then I told him, I said, let me tell you what just happened. When he said amen, I said, when you said amen, God picked up a pen. And in heaven, there's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. He just wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is recorded there in that book. Now you'll go to heaven someday when you die. Now, folks, I can remember the day that it was me when I had my name put in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was thrilling to me. But that's long since been passed. I'm already saved. I'm hoping that I'm growing in my love for the things of God. And one proof of it is the fact that you love to tell others about Jesus and you love to share the gospel. It tells you if you're growing. It tells you. I think we ought to love. I think there's a love and you ought to see your love growing. And love is growing when you're not just trying to get things out of God, but you're trying to do things for God. Your love is growing when you're not just concerned about you being saved, but you love the souls of men. Your love is growing when you love the brethren. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. Folks, let me tell you something. I can tell when someone's love is really growing in the church. You are very cautious. You are very careful. You walk on eggshells in regard to your church relationships because you know how temperamental people are. You know how easily offended people are. And you don't want to cause anything. You don't want to cause any waves. You don't want to cause any hardship. You don't want to cause anybody to get mad and say, well, I'm leaving the church and I'm mad at her. I'm mad at him. You're growing in the Lord when you just don't come to church unconcerned about how everybody feels about everybody. But you come to church and you say, I want to be careful now. I want to be careful what I say. I want to be careful what I listen to. I want to be careful how I act. I want to be careful of that. You're growing in the Lord when the unity among the brethren is an issue with you and you watch everything you do. That's growing in the Lord. You realize how many people have not grown to that point and it's just a free for all on how I feel, what I say, what I want to listen to, what I want to do. But there are those who are very cautious with the relationships in the New Testament church. That's growth in the Lord. That's growth in the Lord. She was sitting there and she said, preacher, you tell me. How can I tell? How can I know if I'm growing in the Lord? Am I on schedule? Am I where I ought to be? And I told her these things. Then I told her this. I said, I think somebody who's growing in the Lord, they tend to give of themselves more and more. Whether it be financially. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. You see, I think when you're growing in the Lord, you give, but not just because you're commanded to. Now you're doing it out of willing heart. The Bible talks about God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, that does not release you. You say, well, I'm not cheerful, therefore I'm not going to give. Therefore, I'm not going to tithe. That's not what that's teaching. You ought to give. You ought to give more and more because it's commanded and less because you feel like it. But if you get the right heart about it, you're going to do it because it's commanded and you're going to like it. And I think when we get to the point where we give and we enjoy it, we're growing. We're growing in the Lord. That's about our money. But our time is the same thing. The Bible in Matthew 6:19 talks about our talents. And we may feel like we are commanded to give a certain amount of time to God. And we ought to give that time to God because we're commanded to serve Him. But wait a minute. If all the time you're serving Him, you're doing it and you feel like a slave and you feel like I just have to do it and I've just got to go to church and I've got to visit my bus route. I tell you something. You'll begin to grow when you begin to want to do it. I want to serve God. I want to give of my money. You begin to find out that the value of things, our things, we approach their value based on the eternal view. We're not trying to hoard up a bunch of things for this life, but there's a life to come. When you grow, tithing is not a chore, it's an honor. As you grow, your time is His time. And as we grow, we realize He gave us everything that we have, and to give back to Him is a reasonable thing. But let me tell you, there are a lot of people, when they first get saved, and they're fresh, and they're new, and they've not grown in the Lord much, I'll tell you what, to give is a chore. To give their time is a chore. You want me to do what? You want me to come to church on Sunday morning? And you want me to come back on Sunday night? How ridiculous! That's only for those lunatics, you know. Then you want me to come on Wednesday? You want me to go out and do some calls and make some visits? You want me to give my money? I gave a dollar into plate. Then you grow in the Lord. Then the tithe becomes commonplace. Then to give a little extra to Faith Promise, it just becomes commonplace. And you don't mind it anymore. You can tell if you're growing, if in your giving, you passed that point of, I have to do this, I've got to do this, I'm forced to do this. You do it willingly and with a cheerful heart. And I mean sincerely, willingly, and with a cheerful heart. She said, how do I know if I'm growing? I said, I think somebody who's growing in the Lord recognizes more and more God's sovereignty and providence and His goodness in our lives. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Folks, as you're growing in the Lord, you build a confidence that God's will is being worked in your life. People that are not growing in the Lord, they're kind of living haphazardly. They're not planning their life with the will of God in mind. They're in this just constant survival mode, but it's not a spiritual survival mode. But when you grow in the Lord, you more and more see how God's intervening in your life. There are some who can have a flat tire and they cuss a blue streak. There are others that can have a flat tire and they can say, it may be that God was protecting me. I had to pull over and change this flat tire. It might have been up the road. I was going to be in an accident. Somehow, God's will is being worked in my life. The more you're growing in the Lord, the more the events of your life are a part of God's will. And the more you're concerned about every little part being a part of His will. You begin to realize there are no accidents in the Christian life. Life is not it's not a game of chance anymore. There is a God. He knows who you are, where you are, what you need, when you need it. And the more you're growing in the Lord, the more aware you are of how aware He is of you. All things good and bad, if handled properly, could help the cause of Christ. We begin to realize that. We look immediately to the occurrences of life and we ask ourselves, what does God want out of this? Where is God taking this? What is God leading me to do? What is this all about? It's not just a emotional free-for-all that something happened and God doesn't know what's going on here. We are aware that God is aware. And you're growing in the Lord when you get to the point where you're able to look at your circumstances and say, God knows where I'm at. He's not lost track of me. He's not left me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's here. So you're growing in the Lord when you come to that point. I told her, number one, I said, one who's growing in the Lord more and more do what they're supposed to do because it's right and less because they feel like it. I said, number two, when you're growing in the Lord, you're spending less time with the old crowd and the wrong crowd and more time with the good crowd and the spiritual crowd. I said, thirdly, when you're growing in the Lord, you'll notice more conflict with the devil, but it's not over your personal moral behavior, but it is over your productivity this time. I said, number four, one who's growing in the Lord panics less when the crushing matters of life come upon them because they've experienced the help of God in the past and they use it to train them for the now and the future. I said, number five, one who's growing in the Lord, they grow in love. They grow in love toward God, not where it's all about what can God give me, but what can I give God. We grow in our love toward the souls of men because it's not all about me being saved. Now I begin to realize I should love the souls of men and them being saved. I grow in my love toward the brethren, where I'm very cautious and very careful. I'm not just worried about my feelings and my emotions. I'm worried about everybody around me. And I'm wanting to keep unity and propriety in my relationships of the church. I said, one who's growing in the Lord is more apt to give and they give willingly. We start out, we don't even want to give and we don't want to obey the commands of offering and giving our time. Then we begin to obey it, but we're not real excited about it. But then as you grow, you get back to the point where you say, I'm not only going to do it because I'm commanded to, I enjoy it. And it becomes commonplace in giving to the Lord. You can tell that you're growing in the Lord when you recognize more and more that whatever's occurring in your life, it's a part of the will of God. Another one. I told her, I said, one who's growing in the Lord is consciously working on their own humility. Now, this is what I watch in people. I can tell that someone's growing in the Lord when they're cautious of their own humility. James chapter 4, verse number 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Now, being lifted up of the Lord sounds like growth to me. It sounds like somebody's growing. But notice it says, humble yourselves. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. A couple times there it says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Here's proof of growth. If somebody else has to remind you to be humble, you're not growing like you could be. God said, I'd like for you to humble yourself. It ought not come to the boss having to humble you. It shouldn't come to someone else having to humble you. You're growing in the Lord when others do not have to put you in check, but you are now putting yourself in check. You're now saying, I better watch my tongue. I better watch what I say. I better watch my behavior. I better watch the way I react. I better watch my temper. You're growing in the Lord when you are getting a hold of you instead of requiring everybody else to get a hold of you. You know you're growing in the Lord when that happens. Pride hinders growth. It may be the greatest hindrance to the growth of a Christian. Pride hurts you, and it hurts those around you. Growth is recognized, and growth is perpetuated in humility. Pride is a sign of stagnant growth. When we get proud, we're not growing like we could. Now, the best way is for us to humble ourselves so we'll kickstart that growth process again. But every once in a while, when you can't get it, somebody will come along and they'll humble you. Life can humble you. You know how it is. Life can come along and just knock you down. You say, boy, what a mess I've got myself into. Better get right with God. Somebody else can call you down. Somebody else can say, you're just arrogant. You're just full of pride. And there are those that will do that. But I'll tell you this. God's saying you're growing when you're catching yourself. You're saying, I better humble down. I better be careful. I have the tendency to be cocky. I have the tendency to be arrogant. I have the tendency to be a know-it-all. I have that tendency. You're growing when you're catching your own humility and keeping it in check. I told her this. I said, one's growing in the Lord who's willing to confess their sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We ought to be willing to confess our sins to the Lord. That one may be a little easier than the second one. We ought to be willing to confess to each other when we hurt each other. That one's a little tougher. Your marriage will start growing again for some of you when you'll get off your high horse and men will start apologizing to their wives when apologies are due. And your marriage will start growing again when wives will apologize to their husbands when apologies are due. Your growth in your children, parents, there are going to be times when you may have to apologize to your children for certain kinds of behavior. And I'm not trying to rob you of your authority in their life. Matter of fact, you may grow your authority a little bit when you lose your temper, when you misbehave. Hey, when you even sin in their presence, there's nothing wrong with you saying to your child, that wasn't good. Dad shouldn't have done that. And Dad's getting that right with God. And I apologize. I wasn't a good example. You'll see growth again when confessions are made. Hey, I'll tell you something. You just let a church, and thank God we don't deal with this. You just let a church, everybody in there start getting mad at each other and won't forgive each other and won't get right. That church will stop growing. Yes, sir. That church will stop growing because when there's a lack of forgiveness among God's people, it stymies the growth. It stunts the growth. There's some of you right now. You say, something in my life, it's not growing. Is there somebody you ought to get right with? There may be somebody here right now. We have a very active, successful Sunday school system here. But you may say, I can't seem to get my Sunday school class to grow. Let me ask you a question. Is there a lack of forgiveness on your part towards someone? And I'm not saying that's the only thing that would keep a class from going, but I am telling you this. Marriages don't grow when there's not forgiveness. Husband-wife relationships and the relationship with the children, they're not going to grow when there's a problem with a lack of forgiveness. A church staff is not going to be successful if they can't learn to forgive one another. A church, they're not going to grow. I believe there are churches all across America that do not grow because there are people that are at odds with one another, setting in the pews. You get enough of that going, and you just put an immediate stop to God's blessing on the church, and the church stops growing. And so we've got to, you know what I decided to do a long time ago? I decided to confess very quickly anything that I've done against God because I don't want to waste valuable time being backslidden. The minute I realize I've sinned, I want to get right to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And the minute I hurt my wife, I want to get right to her. And I would say, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You say, why? I'm not going to spend weeks with the old cold shoulder and being mean and being hateful. Learn to forgive and learn to move on in life. Quit wasting valuable time. You say, well, she hurt me. Let me tell you something. You hurt God 10 times worse than any other human beings ever hurt you. And you will not grow in your life. You'll not grow in your relationships till you learn to forgive. But you'll find the people that are growing the most are usually the ones that are the quickest to forgive. I'll tell you something. I want to grow. I want to grow in the Lord. I want my church to grow. I want my ministry to grow. I want my marriage to grow. I decided that I'm going to be as quick as I can to forgive and forget and get it over with and to get on with things. I don't want to spend my life in the negative. I want to spend my life in the positive. That means you got to put your emotions aside and yourself aside and your pride aside and swallow it, get it over with, and get on to doing something great for God. That's all there is to it. And I told her, I said, look, you'll know you're growing at how quickly you forgive. You'll know. So it's time for some of you to step up a notch in your forgiveness. We're almost done, folks. I told him this. I told her, I said, I think one who's growing in the Lord finds it far easier to forgive others. Then I said, I think one who's growing in the Lord hates evil as well as hates sin.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says in Psalm 97:10, says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. You see, we're pretty good. You know, if somebody says, somebody robbed a bank, we'll say, that's bad, that's sin. And we say somebody went out and got drunk and they're a drunk driver and killed someone. And we say, that's bad, that's sin. And we ought to hate sin. Now, we start out practicing sin and we don't hate it like we should. And then when we grow, we start hating sin. But let me remind you, there's a thing called evil. And evil is sin and evil are bedfellows, but they're not exactly alike. Sin is what you do to hurt you, but evil is when you hurt others. And I can tell when someone's growing in the Lord, when they've got their antenna up about this thing called evil. Evil, that's marring someone's reputation. That's talking about people. That, you know, you think, well, you know what? I hate the liquor traffic and I hate the drugs and I hate adultery and I hate those things. And you think you're a great Christian because of it, but some of you practice evil continuously. Because what you listen to, what you do behind the scenes and how you act toward people, you can tell when someone has stepped up to a new level of maturity. They don't only hate sin, they begin to hate evil.
Yes, sir.
That's a picture of growth in the Christian life. The last thing I told her was this. I said, one who is growing in the Lord loves the world less and less, loves the thought of heaven more and more. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We want less and less worldly companionship, and we want less and less worldly music. We want less and less worldly reading and entertainment and speech and clothing and more and more. See, when you're growing, you're thinking about heaven, not this earth all the time. Every move that you make, you begin to realize it's affecting your eternity and somebody's eternity. The less you grow, the more you're interested in how does it affect me now? How does it affect this life when I live down here on this globe? The Bible here, where it says love not the world, that word world there, it is a word cosmos. It means this world makeup. We get so attached to this world, we begin to live like this world, and we let this world's ethics control us, and this world's morals control us, and this world's economy control us. And God said, don't fall in love with what's going on down here on this globe. Set your sights on things above. Make sure all decisions, all behavior, all music, all dress, all talk, all that you do has your sights set on heaven and the fact that you'll face Jesus Christ someday. That's a good picture of growth. A good picture of growth is you can set your sights on heaven and you let heaven be a part of what's happening with you all the time. All the time. You don't go to work and ignore God for 40 hours a week. You go to work and at work you're concerned about how you're influencing people for heaven. There are some that they'll come to church and they'll behave while they're on the church property. They walk off the church property and they're totally different people. In other words, you're only concerned about heaven for a couple hours a week while you're on the church property. God said, we'll know when you're growing, when everything you do, you bring heaven in you. And you're asking yourself what I do with my money, what I do with my words, what I do with my mind, what I do with my car, what I do with my testimony, what I do with my family, what I do. Everything I do is affecting eternity for me. It's affecting eternity for someone. It's affecting the kingdom of heaven. And I've got that in you. You'll know that you're growing in the Lord the more and more you keep your eyes on what you do affecting heaven. That's why it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not supposed to be so attached to this world that we give God a little bit of time. No, God's supposed to be a part of everything. It's a proof of our growth. I was shocked. She said, am I on schedule? I said, I don't know what you mean. She said, well, am I on track with my Christian growth? Am I growing in the Lord? And I said, what do you think? She said, I don't know. Tell me. Give me some things so I can monitor my growth because I want to grow. I told her these 10 things. I said, if you'll watch these things, you'll know if you're growing. At the end of the appointment, I said, well, now, what do you think? Are you growing? And she said, in some areas I am. She said, and in other areas, with God's help, I'm going to. I said, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not saved, I wish you'd come tonight. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're saved and you've never made it public, why don't you come tonight? Let us help you with that. If you're saved and you've never been baptized, why don't you come? Somebody here tonight, though, you've ceased to grow. You've ceased to grow. Now, I see a Martinsburg Christian Academy young lady that's got a boy right up against her. I'm going to call you down here in the service if the boy doesn't move away from you. Stop touching her. It's against the rules. Sorry to have to do that during the invitation. Somebody here needs to grow. You need to grow in the Lord. You need to say, you know something, I see some things a little differently. Make sure you're growing, young, old, alike. You make sure you're growing. Who here tonight would say, the Lord spoke to my heart about something. Maybe in an area where you've slipped into neutral and you're going backwards instead of forwards. Maybe that's you. But somehow tonight you see an area in which these maturity issues have come into your mind. You say, that's an area where I need to grow a little more. Who would say tonight, God's spoken to my heart, and you'll raise your hand. If you need the altar, we'll welcome you to come. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you may come. If you're growing, you do it less and less because you feel like it more and more just because the Bible says so. If you're growing, you're spending less and less time with the wrong crowd and more time with the right crowd. If you're growing, you're seeing more conflict with Satan. It is not over your personal behavior as much as it is your personal productivity. If you're growing in the Lord, you don't panic as much with those crushing issues of life. You're learning that God's grace is sufficient. You're learning to make it through. If you're growing in the Lord, you're growing in your love. It's not a matter of just what you can get out of Him. It's what can you give back to Him. It's not just a matter of you love the fact that you're saved, but you're growing in the fact that you want others to be saved. You're growing in the Lord. You're not just concerned about your feelings in the church. You're concerned about the feeling of the brethren because you love them. You're growing in the Lord. You give more and more for the kingdom of God. You realize more and more everything you have is His. And for Him to ask for a little back, nothing wrong with that. You don't give so much because it's a command now. You're adjusted to that. You give and you enjoy giving to God. I think one who's growing in the Lord recognizes God's intervention in their life. And every day, God's got His eye on you. And God is aware of where you're at. You're aware that God's aware. You know that all things work together for good. And God's not forgotten you. One who's growing in the Lord is working on their own humility because pride squelches growth. You need to be correcting you and your pride rather than somebody else needing to do it. If you're growing in the Lord, you learn how to confess your sins and you learn to forgive other people. You quickly forgive your husband. You quickly forgive your wife. You quickly do what's right. We need, if we're going to grow in the Lord, we're going to have to learn to hate not just sin, but hate evil. Hate evil, and that's a step up in the Christian life. We are less and less attached to this world and more attached to the next. That's what growth in the Lord is. None of us are a finished product. All of us have a way to go. Let's make sure we do it. Choir, give me one more verse, please. Sing one more verse and we'll be done for this. Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there. If I call your name, please stand and we'll...